Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
And Delatory.
Same corner, same time. How was y'all boys' weekend?
Better than 2-5.
Jordan's
okay. He is in Cancun, Mexico, which at the moment is still safe, but got stranded in Cancun. JetBlue said no thanks, not flying in there.
I think he was on the mission, the cartel mission.
You think?
Yeah, he just don't want to tell us.
I can see that. Jordan, a little secret spy.
Yeah. International spy 25.
I can see it. He'll hopefully be back tomorrow. And what's unfortunate, I don't know if he wants to share. I don't think it's a big deal. Like, he didn't want to go there. He wanted to go somewhere else instead. And he does what all of us would do. The significant other said, I want to go to Cancun. So they compromised and went to Cancun. And he'll be out of there tomorrow, hopefully. I got a trip to Cabo in 7 weeks. So whatever we got to do to figure it out, I'm rooting for that solution.
Figure it out.
I don't think it'll get figured out, man. I think that the cartel boys are pretty mad, man. They're upset. So I
can understand. Rightfully so. You know, I don't often take the side of the cartel, but from the side of, would understand why they'd be upset.
Yeah, they got the big homie. It's crazy. Yeah. Let's not get into politics, man. How was y'all weekend?
It was good. Played a little golf. Corey, I'm trying to go pro. I need to get a little bit better before I can go pro.
Putting the work in. You in the lab. Like, every time I come in the lab, you in the lab. Yeah.
The problem is I'm not always in the practice lab either. So,
He's game day player.
We're talking about practice.
That's right. It's not fun to go to the driving range. It's a lot more fun to go play and then get frustrated with why you're not, you know, you've hit a plateau. And I know what I need to do to get better, but I don't want to do that, you know? But man, it was good. I was a single dog dad for 5 days.
Single dog dad.
Toughest job in the world, they say. And Sarah was up in Gainesville for some stuff that she does up there. And so I was doing that. And then yesterday morning, a buddy of mine and I had the bright idea of, hey, let's go to Hattricks, which is a bar here in Tampa, at 7 a.m. to go watch the United States play in the gold medal game against Canada. What a great choice that was to be there. Was surrounded by 300 of my closest friends, nuts to butts inside of Hattricks. But what a day it was for America, for freedom, for Screaming Eagles. So first Olympic gold medal for men's hockey in my life. And just a couple days after, the women did the exact same thing. So shout out to hockey, the world's best sport.
Along those lines, let me add the one and only Brendan Lawson, starting shortstop and potential like 1-1 pick in next year's draft of the 2027 draft, famously from Toronto. Also now famously a loser of a bet with Liam Peterson, making good on the bet.
Oh, great. That boy life. Look at him.
Look at him. Mike Arruzzirone. Mike, say that for me, Dan.
Arruzzirone.
It's him. A nice USA jersey. Got the C on his chest. That's early beautiful. Morning lift. Probably the best lift of his life.
Yeah, I can see that.
So shout out to him, man. Shout out to Brendan, man of his word. Shout out to Team USA. It's called ice football now. Just rename the sport. It's ice football.
I can dig it. I might tune in.
The Stanley Cup runs through Florida, and most notably about Florida, it is part of the United States. So made sense for us to come home with gold.
It did. It's cool. First time in 46 years that they won the gold medal in hockey. Just a really cool environment to watch that game. An incredible game.
On the same day.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you, as a former goalie, well-known on this podcast, what we were able to do in between the pipes is the only reason we won that game. So shout out to netminders all across the world. May you one day rep the United States proudly between the pipes for a gold medal game.
Yeah, we scored first, and then the entire second period felt like Canada could have scored like three or four. It was like,
but they didn't. That's the best part. They didn't.
Period three, they sure didn't.
They didn't.
I like that. I like Canada when they have like.
All right, Nick.
You can't
talk about a U.S. win and just start a sentence.
Oh, no. I like how Canada with
Ginger Ale and Drake is the only thing I like from Canada.
With the three that they're able to put out there, complaining about the 3-on-3. And I'm sure it's probably, you know, better than, you know, penalty shots, Dan, but also 3-on-3 is not real hockey. But they got to put out McDavid.
They put out three of the best hockey players. They put out the best offensive player in the NHL, the best defensive player in the NHL, and then the future superstar of the NHL, all on the same line. So spare me with it. Although it was John Cooper that said it, famously Tampa Bay Lightning coach. So I'll just say it was a slip of the tongue. I don't like 3-on-3 hockey to decide a gold medal. That's why they don't do it in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But those are the rules, and you can't complain with Connor McDavid, Cale Makar, and Macklin Celebrini. But enough hockey. We won gold. We are the world champions for the next 4 years. Can't tell me different. So
can't tell him nothing.
Can't tell me Nathaniel, as Nathaniel. My friend Corey Waltz would say. But overall, good weekend. I was negotiating. I'm looking to buy a new house. I think I told you boys. I was negotiating with a terrorist. So we pulled out of that. So
in real life, like,
well, part of the Pinellas County Al Qaeda for sure. I thought she's not a real life terrorist, but she is a real estate terrorist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
you never know. You might want to hold out a little bit. Feels like we are dangerously close to an entire housing market crash. Might get a lot
better, I don't think they've been saying that. Like, they've been saying this since like 2020, man. It's just, I don't
know. 2020 might have been real. I have a 2.3% interest rate on my home.
Nick, don't brag. This is a PG show. One. You're not allowed to bring porn on this show.
You got
to
catch it low. I think it just dropped
in 2020.
They've been saying the bubble was gonna pop since like 2020. I was just like ready to sell at that time, try to cash out, and just sat, been vibing, and it just keep going up. I'm amazed at what some of these New Yorkers spend to move in my neighborhood.
I'm like, what? I know, because if they're not moving into your neighborhood, they're moving over here. It's nuts. But
and as a homeowner in the neighborhood, you're rooting for them. You're like, get full listing.
Call your friends.
No bidding war.
Bring your friends, man.
But no, my weekend was good. I was at baseball. Got. The weekends when you have little kids are like 30 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. That's right here.
Sounds about right.
Just real quick.
That's all you got for yourself in that whole weekend is 30 minutes.
Yeah, just exhausted. But before that, I wanted to mention Joey Knight, and who is a writer for the Tampa Bay Times, and Wes Rucker. Joey had a 2-year battle with cancer, passed away last week. Wes Rucker, someone who I got to know, he covered Tennessee. He was the writer that if I wanted to know something about Tennessee, I would go to him, talk to him through baseball, basketball, football over the years, passed away suddenly in a car accident. He has a son who's been dealing with kidney surgeries, and wife has a baby. They have their second child on the way. So it's just really sad. It was a really sad way to start the weekend, losing those two. But it's been really cool to see not just Tennessee fans, but sports fans in general kind of rallying around Wes in particular, just because of the suddenness of it and the money they've raised. They've raised, I think, $750,000 dollars for his family. And Wes had just left 247 and was working a new job. So it's been really cool to see the outpouring of love for Wes. And that includes coaches. Stephen Pearl had a really touching opening statement today about Wes. So thinking about those guys over the weekend. Life is short. Hug your people.
Yeah. Sure. Hug your people.
Corey, how's it? Man, just kicked it. Didn't get into a whole lot. Went down to Miami, had some training session. I'm forgetting my guy's names right now.
It looked sick. Looked hard.
Yeah, we out on South Beach, man. What's my guy's name, man? It's been a day. I don't know why I'm forgetting his name. One of the Miami Northwestern greats. But he joined our team as far as some training with Flow Factory. So I took my son down there. He was on some running back training. But I figured Antoine Easterling, that's his name.
Okay.
I don't know why I forgot his name, you know. But Antoine Easterling did some sessions down there on South Beach with one of our running backs on Flow Factory. I think my son last year in the park, so I think I'm going to put him in the backfield just to touch the ball because these quarterbacks are terrible at that age, not getting a whole lot of receptions and whatnot at receiver. So I'm going to put him in the backfield. So we got to do that, man. South Beach was nice, you know, right around like 78, 80 degrees. Cheeks was out everywhere. It's just South Beach in this rare form.
Legit South Beach?
Yeah, on Ocean Drive, man. Wouldn't think of
the pitch. That's a far drive.
When people say South Beach, I'm like, you know, there's so many beach. There's so much beach. There's all kinds of beach. You don't have to go over a bridge to get to the beach.
That's probably where Antoine was. So
that's where he lives.
Unfortunately, couldn't do a virtual training. He's like, I got a beach right here. He's
Why are we at Home Depot? Because I'm not driving to South Beach, so we got to get this sand in the backyard, son.
Now it's a good time, though, man.
I love it, man. Well, we got some great comments. Everybody watching, appreciate everybody for joining in. Appreciate everybody for the commentary. Mason Newton asked, Summer, I was doing a lot of independent Gator media interviews. Are y'all next? Stay tuned. Stay tuned with what that when that might be. And it says, Dan, are any of you fellas going to do the 40 with Cody from High Top? It's for the kids. I don't know enough about that. I guess we're running a 40-yard dash. So you'll have to share some details. I'm always down for some running. And then try.
I vote for Nick to race him, if so.
Okay. Yeah, I like that idea. If we have to nominate one person from the pod, we put Nick up there.
Yeah.
He always bragged about his, like, 60 time or whatever it was.
No. My post is 60 time, and it's not good.
Oh, okay.
It was a slow track.
It's Cody, though, man.
It was a slow track.
I got you versus Cody.
Yeah. And then Trav, always on the show, always commenting. Appreciate him. He's running his first half marathon in Fort Worth on Sunday. Best of luck, brother. Best of luck.
How long is a half a marathon?
How long?
13.6.
13.1.
Miles? Oh,
wait. Yeah,
13.1.
What's a full marathon? Holy
26.2.
What? People run 26 miles?
0.2, yeah.
People run ultra marathons. Makes no sense. I don't get it.
Yeah. If you guys ever want to hear about something crazy, we can talk about it after, but look up the Barkley Marathon. That's
crazy. They're not even doing it for like money or anything. They're just doing it to do it, some people.
For the love of the game.
Not a game that I'll ever love. Mm-mm. I'll love you from afar. You can go join your little run club.
You're gonna watch go run 26 miles.
Hey, congrats, my boy. Like, you know, if you finish, Yeah, good job, man. Are you gonna walk some of it? Come in the section. Like, you run the whole thing, or do you like take a rest?
What miles you call the Uber?
Run for two, walk for one. Right. Somebody bad you call the Uber. Chasing me. Yeah, I've always said, like, what are you running from? I enjoy that, but somebody bad's chasing me.
Like, after 5 miles, I'm like, you know what, dog? You're still coming. That's fine. Let's get, like, we can throw hands.
Yeah, if we're gonna run 5 miles and you're still chasing me, like, I did something bad.
Hey, sprint the cause. If it's a cause, can we sprint for it like Cody?
Yeah, you run a 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if we nominate your son as the representative of State Even Gale?
For the 40?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to smoke Cody.
Okay. All right. We'll have to find out more details. Let's get.
If they're racing kids, then let Cody race my kid. Yeah, how about that? Let's do that.
We got a big show today. We're talking a little bit of baseball. Then we have new tight end coach Evan McKissick joining us somewhere around 7:30. So, Corey, let's get a Brent ad read, and we'll kick off the show.
State Even Gale is sponsored and powered by the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, and I mean anything from a trailer to a motorcycle to an RV to a boat, your car, even your life, hit my man Greg up at 954-589-2204 or visit bruntinsurance.com. I promise you he can save you some money. It don't cost a dime to find out if you can save a dime or two. Visit bruntinsurance.com or give him a call at 954-589-2204.
Greg, what it do, baby?
And the show is also sponsored by our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, 855-652-1377, dykusburkelaw.com. A group of attorneys that used to work for the insurance companies now work against them for you. So if you're dealing with anything related to property insurance, pipe leaks, water damage, wind damage, hail, hurricane, sinkhole damage, or even some personal injury, reach out to our friends proudly in the St. Petersburg and Tampa Bay area, 855-652-1377, Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, if you want to be protected by those pesky insurance companies. All right, Nick, as we wait for Evan, baseball 5-0 on the week, 2 wins against Stetson midweek, and then a couple of big wins against Kennesaw State on this weekend. Talk to us through a little bit about baseball. 7-1 on the year and sitting somewhere, what, the 10th, 11th, 12th seed, depending on the poll?
We're doing ranking. I was like, seeds. Yeah. I'm like, we're seeding the tournament, right? Jesus. No. Yeah, starting Friday night, Liam Peterson was fantastic. A lot of people wanted, right? I told somebody was freaking out about him. I'm like, there's a lot of people who are just like not emotionally stable enough for baseball season.
You don't even have to include baseball season. Just
that's facts.
So that's like facts, bro. So I went back and I looked up. Like, I get why people were like really down on Liam after his first start. It's because he hasn't been good in. He was 8-4 last year, 4-2 in SEC play, so it's fine. But if you look at his postseason numbers, it's 14 and a third innings pitch, 21 hits, 15 earned runs. It's a 9.42 ERA. And it's kind of like what I said. I was like, he's just been bad in big moments. And I think your draft year, opening night, all offseason, every headline's been, you're going to be the best right-handed college pitcher in the draft, top 10 pick potentially. And you make a big deal out of it. And I think he just kind of made too much of it mentally, struggled opening night, tied his career high last Friday with 12 strikeouts, just dominated Kennesaw State, a team that hit the ball well Sunday. They didn't really do much against Aiden King, who has been sensational in two starts. But yeah, Florida's been really good since that opening day loss. Really, Kyle Jones, Brendan Lawson, and Ethan Surwick, the Ole Miss transfer, really starting to hit the ball well. And then you got a couple of freshmen, Jacob Kendall, Cash Strayer. Cash Strayer reminds me a lot of Sterling Thompson. Somebody called me out. They're like, why? Because they're both left-handed and wore number 26. I was like, doesn't hurt. But like a professional approach at the plate at 18 years old. It looks like – and we'll see – this we'll see this weekend. That's why I love this Florida Miami series. It's always early in the season, so it's not the team that you're going to be in end of May, April, June, but it gives you a good test because like Miami just played, I think like some Loyola or some Lehigh. I don't know. They played some team from the north and beat them 30-2. And the only reason it went that long is because the team got snowed in, their flight was canceled, so they decided not to do a 10-run rule. But you're playing those kind of teams. Choice.
I would wave the white.
After about 20 runs, I'm like, after 20 runs, it's like, hey, timeout.
Bro, give me the 10 run rule, and then I get to hang out in Coral Gables for however long. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Let's go to Biscayne and hang out a little bit.
Can you imagine what it does for your ego to be 30 to lose 30-2 when you could have otherwise found some snow bunnies?
Yeah. So, Miami's 9-0. They've looked awesome. Good starting pitching, good offense, you're right, really brother. Good offense. But this is when you'll find out. And asked Liam Peterson about it. He's like, we don't like them. They don't like us. I'm like fired up for this game. Last year he shoved against Miami and went nuts when he came out of the game. Was like yelling "F you" to them, middle fingers. Like he went crazy. Really doesn't like Miami. So. Looking forward to the series down there. You kind of see what both teams are about with you know, top-end competition. But, yeah, Miami should be really good this year, so it'll be a great test. It's Dade County week. You got FIU at Condren Ballpark Tuesday and Wednesday. So a lot of Miami flavor for the Gator baseball team. But look good. Injury-wise, Cade Kurland was hit. Missed two games, came back, played Sunday. He should be good to go. Luke McNeely has been coming back from a little injury. He's pitching tomorrow. He pitched last Tuesday. He's pitching tomorrow. It'll probably be a controlled start Tuesday, and you'll see him again on the weekend. And then they hope to get Sandifer back. He's a UCF transfer, another right-handed pitcher. They hope to get him back by the weekend as well. So a lot of stuff happening. You have to be good, but the best ability is availability. Florida was crushed by injuries last year. I'm already starting to see it. Like Georgia lost one of their best players. Texas A&M's down three of their starters. So you got to get a little bit lucky with injuries when it comes to baseball.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we're going to pause on baseball. Remind me to bring it back. With that, quick announcement for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Get a really cool cup like this one. Corey, Nick, Jordan, they all have one as well. Going to keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. Stainless steel. They last a really long time. You can bring it out every day with you, and it's still going to hold its shine and hold its luster. So go visit Game Time Sidekicks. Use promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. We'll get you 15% off of your order. And with that, we welcome new Florida Gators tight end coach Evan McKissick to the show. Coach, welcome.
What's going on, fellas? Man, I like that black on black freaking.
You seen it? That's live, bro.
Know what to do. Just don't fold, man. I love it.
We'll
get you.
I'm going to tell you what, coach. Just don't wear black on the sidelines. We like the game of black stuff. Like, it's cool for the fans.
And look, hey, I can just open mine up. You know what I mean?
It ain't cold, though, coach. It ain't cold.
No, that's freaking awesome, man. You guys doing good?
Yeah, good, man.
Good.
Can't complain.
Man, so, our coach, we do this with everybody that we bring on, whether it's a player, a recruiter, or coach. Talk to us a little bit about your origin story. You're a graduate of Troy, then you got involved in coaching at the high school level, and then you moved the way up. Talk to us a little bit about your story.
Heck yeah, man. I mean, shoot, I'm a sawed-off freaking dude. I've been very fortunate to be around good people. You know, so my first job was in Enterprise, Alabama. I actually was an offensive lineman, started coaching defense, and then – transition of working back for an old coach that coached me at Hoover for Rush at Colquitt County down in Moultrie, Georgia for a couple years. And we had a good run. And my old previous old line coach at Troy at the time, he was at Kentucky, John Schlarman. He called me up and it just happened to be the right time at the right place. I mean, shoot, I was, you know, 28 years old, you know, free in the middle of Moultrie, Georgia. Ain't too much going on there. And so it was about the right timing. And you know, ended up being an offensive line GA for him And that's kind of where I met Coach Summerall. And then after that, you know, I took my first college job at Murray State in Murray, Kentucky, FCS, and was there for a couple of years, endured COVID, and coached the running backs and tight ends there. And then ended up getting a call from Coach Summerall to come out and join him to Troy, coaching the tight ends there for a couple of years. Had a great, you know, great stint there, my alma mater. And then, you know, wanted to uphold the challenge at Tulane. You know, Willie Fritz had done a great job and that staff. And, you know, and we wanted to continue. We felt like we'd go to the college football playoff. And then, you know, here we can win a national championship. And that's always kind of been my biggest goal, to be honest with you. I always would go into coach's office, and that was like my biggest thing. Like, you know, that's my one goal, is to win a national championship. And if you ain't about that, I need to go find another job, you know. And so he's always been about it, you know. He's freaking a stud. And so, but that's kind of my journey. Man, I've had a lot of good people around the way. Been very fortunate to be at the right place at the right time. There's a lot of really good coaches out there. There's obviously a lot of bad ones, you know. You know, I've been really fortunate to be around some good ones.
Coach, I want to start even earlier than that. I forgot to mention this. You were a walk-on at Troy. And then you end your career as an all-Sun Belt player. Surprising to probably everybody that's watching and looking at you right now, you were a center, 5'10", 256 pounds. Man, talk to us a little bit about that.
Just imagine me looking at guy and Trout just freaking demolishing him. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about that combination. No, I mean, I was fortunate. Like I said, you know, technique and fundamentals go a long way. It still is a game. You know, I was a walk-on, to be honest with you. I actually went to a Division II school, didn't get the opportunity to play. Terry Bowden was the head coach at UNA. Didn't get the opportunity to play there. And so, to be honest, I was done with pretty much everything. I was working with my brother, doing landscaping. Hell, I was digging ditches. And then Chip Lindsey calls me to come join the team. I mean, hell, all I had was what I had on. And my brother said, here's the keys of the truck. And he was like, I'll find a ride back. And shoot, man, I went straight into camp, put pads on. And you know, I love the game. I like the physicality. I mean, heck, I'll put my hands on some, you know, some of these guys, just test them every now and then. I got to let them know, you know. Now, I've been having to get back in the weight room. I can promise you that.
You and me both.
Some of these guys are getting after it, which is good. But no, I was fortunate, man. And, you know, the right guys, you know, it was just the right time. Had an opportunity, and I was ready for my opportunity when it came my senior year. And played well, went after a lot of ankles, and you know, it was a fun time.
That seems like an easy decision. Digging a ditch, coach calls and is like, hey, you want to play some football? You're like, I don't know, coach. This is pretty fun. What else do you got?
Well, if y'all been in South Georgia, you know that's the Nat line. So, man, they'll tear your rear end up. You get up there to Kingston, Georgia, over there near Camden County, man, you better be wearing you a freaking raincoat, man. And I'm talking about double freaking sweatshirts. Them gnats, sand gnats will get right through you. So, yeah, you best believe, Nick, I was ready to roll.
You spoke about, like, you say a lot of good coaches and bad coaches. Any coaches inspired you, you know, going into this lane or since you've been coaching?
Yeah, absolutely, Corey. I think what motivates us all is guys that want us to reach a ceiling that we don't know exists. And sometimes I think that's formed through relationships. That's one of the biggest things I've learned. I don't really think it matters what organization you're in, but if you got a relationship with somebody, man, you can soar to the highest potential that you absolutely have, you know. And, you know, I was fortunate to be around John Schlarman, offensive line coach. You know, I've had a lot of other good coaches. There's been some really good high school coaches that I've been with that may not have gotten the opportunity to be in college football just due to timing and things like that, you know. But, you know, was around Eddie Grant and some of those guys at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And I remember Eddie when he was at Auburn when I was a kid. You know, he did an unbelievable job, you know, getting running backs. And I always used to mess with him. The first thing, so I told B. Harris and dang Marcus Davis, I was like, boys, y'all going to have to – I'm ready to Miami Vice this thing now. You know, like, take me down. I'm ready to freaking go down there and recruit. And I called Eddie up because I always used to give him hell. I was like, and you just go down there and kick your feet up and put you an umbrella in and drink. You ain't doing much, you know, that kind of deal. But some real ball players down there, some real good coaches down there. But Corey, I, you know, at the end of the day, the guys that poured into me as coaches, you know, I think I've really kind of taken that with me. You know, that's kind of my coaching style. You know, I coach them hard, but, you know, at the end of the night, it may be, you know, midnight, and I'm texting them like, hey, man, you're getting there, you know, that kind of deal. Because at the end of the day, this thing has ramped up a lot quicker. The kids, you know, as much as the NIL is good, you know, for them to profit, there's also a lot of pressure that comes with that.
Speaking of Kyle Pitts, first time we talked, you mentioned Kyle Pitts. He was franchise tagged today, and I don't know that we will be able to match that in NIL. So game plan without Kyle Pitts this year, Coach.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year. The franchise tag is only 1 year. Maybe next year.
That's right.
No doubt.
These guys, you guys are – shoot. Fall camp or spring camp starts a week from tomorrow. For you guys, what has it been like watching Rusty kind of get his hands on the team and get them into his program, and just how much are you guys anticipating and looking forward to putting helmets on and getting on the grass?
Definitely looking forward to actually like playing football. You know, at the end of the day, kind of what we're doing is challenging the culture of our program right now through the gauntlet. And to be honest with you, strength conditioning coach is the one that does it. And so Rusty Witt and his staff do a phenomenal job. They're very technical. You know, it's not just going in there and doing a bunch of CrossFit exercises. Like, we're moving big weight, you know, we're deadlifting, we're squatting. You know, some of you guys are seeing that on social media, and that's important, because at the end of the day, and when it's fourth quarter, especially in this league, it's a, you know, that's where that shows up. And so Coach Witt and his staff take great pride in that. You know, when they do finishers at the end that simulates kind of a fourth quarter, you know, because that's the deal. You know, when you're up, we got to be able to lean on guys and finish them. And then when you're down, we got to have enough stamina to battle back. And so definitely seeing that. We're doing a thing right now called the gauntlet. We still haven't beat it. You know, coaches told them, you know, if we don't beat it, we just ain't going to practice until we do, you know, because at the end of the day, that's the foundation of the house we're trying to build, which is details. It's execution. It's doing things at a high rate and holding each other accountable. And so that's exactly what this time of year is about. That's what the weight room is. That's the why behind it. And Rusty's definitely leading the charge on that.
Coach, talk to us a little bit about the room now. You've got Amir Jackson and Micah Jones returning, or I guess Micah Jones is didn't play last year. But then you're bringing in Lou Parkering, Lakota Dupre, and Evan Chisia. I probably pronounced both of those last names. Chica. There you go. Appreciate it. Yeah. And then you've got a couple other freshmen coming in. Talk to us a little bit about that room. What are you most excited about? And I guess what's the best opportunity that they have going into spring camp?
Well, I'll be honest with you. They're kind of, you know, I ain't gonna lie. I've told them they're the land of misfits right now. You know, there's an edge that has to be placed on their shoulder. You know, we've got to present threats in the pass game, which we should be able to do. I mean, the receivers that we have is probably one of the best groups of receiving core I've been around in my career. And I think, you know, but we got a lot of guys with different skill sets. That's what excites me the most. And I think the way we use those skill sets to essentially in our tight end room is like, we're like that last piece of the puzzle. You got a good runner, you got good receivers. How can this piece of the puzzle help fit all this together? And so that's what's going to be exciting in the spring, is to see how all that shakes out, because, you know, there's some vertical speed in that room. There's also some physicality, and that's kind of the new thing we're trying to, you know, for those guys that were here last year, places that they've been at, is playing long, playing with our hands, being on the attack, not just absorbing things. You know, that's probably been my biggest point of emphasis, is like, go attack guys, you know, and whether that's in the pass game or in a run game. So, you know, I'm really excited about this room. I think they all feel like they have an opportunity, and that should be it every week, to be honest with you, you know, and that's kind of my pedigree. I've started a bunch of guys in different games because we're going to compete every week. Mm-hmm. You don't have a good week of practice, the other guy's going to play. And so that's the only way we get the best, and that's the only way we build a culture that room can build for the next guy that comes in.
What did you see from Faulkner's last offense at Georgia Tech that's different than the offense that you normally ran with tight ends? Do you see any different usage?
Yeah, you know, I think, Corey, I think that's a great question. I'll tell you, I think what I loved about what Coach Faulkner did is getting the ball on the perimeter. I thought that was huge in the offense that you saw last year. But really, this past year, you know, my mentors, Dan Roschar, is at the Chicago Bears with Ben Johnson and that group. You know, we really phased out of, you know, we start everything in the run game thinking about who the tight end's blocking. And what I mean by that is, like, it's not running power or going on a down block. Like, it's okay, you got to block this 180-pound nickel. And it's the same thing for receivers. Like, when they are asked to block, let's make sure the matchup is good. And so I think Coach Faulkner does a really good job with that. I think our runners that we have in the backfield, there's some things that we got to grow from a technical standpoint, because we got to be able to close out games. You know, when you're up by two scores, you got to be able to close out games. So I'm excited to see how both of these offenses mesh, because at the end of the day, man, we got some really good quarterbacks back there. You know, I think Tremel, Philo, Aiden, this freaking Will Griffin is a freaking, I mean, he's special. You know, there's some really good young players in that, in this offense. So I think the biggest key, though, is that not being stagnant, not just saying, hey, we're going to line up. Everybody can see that, okay, well, it's going to be condensed. We're going to go down. This guy's going to kick out here, and everybody knows that the ball's only going to fit right in this area. I think the biggest thing that Coach Faulkner brings to the table is expanding that 53 and a third yard, and that's the key. We got to do that because we got the vertical speed to do it vertically.
What can you tell us about Luke Harpering and what he brings to the table? Obviously, you're not returning a ton of Gator names that people are familiar with Micah Jones and Amir, who just he didn't play a ton last year. And I know a lot of Gator fans were hoping to see a little bit more about him. But you bring him over from Georgia Tech, obviously familiar with Buster Faulkner's offense, had some success there. What does he bring to the table to round out that room?
Man, I'll tell you, Luke brings first quality's toughness. The kid is tough. You know, he's definitely he wanted to come here to seek out more technique and fundamentals and development and to play in the SEC. I think you know, the biggest thing for him is his ability to maintain a good weight so that he can play consistently and be durable throughout the span of a freaking 16-game season. But you know what he brings is there's an element of speed that he has. There's also an aspect of being able to be versatile on the edge, flex out. Him and Amir are very similar in a lot of ways. You know, Amir's got length and some things that he can do that corresponds with being closer to the box, whereas Luke can be more of an off-the-ball guy. And so excited about him. You know, Luke comes from an athletic pedigree. You know, his mom and dad, I don't know if y'all know that last name, but the Utah Jazz, his dad was a famous basketball player there. You know, that doesn't faze him. Like, he's a freaking competitor. That's one thing that's been passed down. You know, I'm really excited about him.
So between him, Shaquille O'Neal's daughter on the basketball team, and Grant Hill's daughter on the softball team, we're building a pretty good roster of UF parents here.
No doubt.
I like it.
So when you're recruiting a tight end, like, what characteristics and traits you're looking for?
Yeah, great question. Smart, physical, tough. I'll tell you, so tight end is kind of a position, you know, I ain't gonna lie, we're sitting there in a staff meeting the other day and coach is like, well, where are we at? And I'm like, Coach, I got to go see these guys in person, all right? Because there's a burst to them. You know, there's a burst after a catch. There's an aspect of how quick do they learn, because essentially they're the secondary quarterback in the offense. So they've got to be able to block in a run game, protect in the pass game, and they've also got to be able to run the routes. And so it's three-dimensional. And so it's different than a receiver. It's different than a quarterback. And you're like, man, this guy's got it. Well, the it to a tight end is to me, an ultra-competitor. And I think what we're after now is finding guys that, number one, want to be a Florida Gator, because this logo does mean something. I think it's critical that we find guys, like, at the end of the day, that want to be the next freaking Kyle Pitts. You know, and I think that goes hand in hand. But the ultra competitiveness is everything, because usually tight ends are playing basketball. They're freaking playing other sports. And you see that same thing on the court. I mean, I can't tell you how many dang basketball games I've watched on recruits. Like, I got two monitors. I'll be working on one. I'm buzzing a basketball game on the other, you know. And so I think that's everything. So, but, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still a game. All positions need to have, you know, the ability to play early. You got to be smart. You got to be tough. And you got to be physical.
And how does your center, former offensive line coach, you guys are an extension of the offensive line, even sometimes in pass pro, but certainly in run blocking. How does your experience as a player and knowing the principles of blocking and leverage and all of that help your guys or help you as a coach now kind of convey that to your guys?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest you know, advantage is when you're on the edge, like, for instance, we're getting ready for spring football. Okay. Well, what we do is we go ahead, like I broke down Jaden Woods, Kofi, I broke down Miles Graham. And what we're going to do is show our guys, like, we go ahead and kind of get them in a game mindset, because a lot of these guys are new and I'm new to all of them. And so they got to be looking for indicators. Like, here's the deal. You know, and I tell them I'm not, you know, a big gambler or anything, but it's like when you go to a blackjack table, you like to know what the dealer's cards are. And there's always something revealing in that mind, in that aspect in the game. And so I think it's awesome. They actually get a huge, you know, vantage point because they are, you know, on the edge usually of a particular run game scheme. But at the end of the day, it's not as hard as it sounds. You know, the key is do you have help? Or do you not have help? It's the same thing for a defensive back. We're trying to block. If I have tackle help, I need to go run. You know, no stalemates. And so I think that's the other thing, too, the schematics of what we do, like Corey alluded to earlier. Like, man, we can't be conventional. Like, that's – we want athletic tight ends. Well, by gosh, let's use them in an athletic manner.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it was me, I would need help with Kofi, with Jaden. with anyone in that edge room, as much help as you could. Bring the running back to chip him, pulling guard. I need all the help I can get.
Man, that first step by them dudes, man. And I'm telling you, they've been getting after it. I'm excited because iron sharpens iron. So I'm really pumped up about that. And to be able to go against linebackers. We've got some new safety bodies that are in there. So it's been fun. That's the key is like when because of the portal, you know, you have to – you end up going and watching guys that are coming from other schools too. Mm-hmm. You know? Well,
go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Core.
What was it like when Amir hits the transfer portal? I was very vocal about his skill set and the staff keeping him on board, and you guys were able to get him back on the team. What was that recruiting pitch like? What was that conversation with, like, with Amir to keep him on the team?
Me going face to face and saying, "Hey, knucklehead, I want your butt here." to be honest with you, that's what I'm gonna tell you. Amir's unbelievable. He called me the day of signing day and said, "Coach, I want you to know like how much you meant to me, and that meant the world to me. I'm not gonna lie, like that's the truth." Mm-hmm. And I enjoy, you know, sometimes, you know, at smaller schools you may not land a guy. But to be able to pick out and start coaching, like that is my recruiting pitch, is I'm going to be who I am. People want to talk about development. Well, I'm going to watch your high school tape, and I'm going to go ahead and coach you. I'm going to tell you what I think is good. I'm going to tell you what I think is bad. And one thing in Amir, you know, just it was awesome, you know, to see him in person again, to be honest with you. I was hanging out with him probably 2.5-3 hours. I didn't know if they were going to kick me out or – you know, I didn't know what was going to go down, but, you know, the craziest thing about it is he was like, "Coach, I'm staying." And I was like, because I told him, I said, "Hey, man, think on and all that." He's like, "Hey, you didn't know." And, you know, on social media, I guess, or whatever, he said, "Hey, I'm staying." And I mean, I was at his house during that time. So I was like, "My gosh, man, that's what I'm talking about. Here we
Coach
go."
Coach was like waiting for the portal to close. But I will be here till 11:59. Hey, you can put another game in. Doesn't have to be Madden. We can play whatever you want. But
no doubt. He loves that thing too, man. He's freaking, man. He's got some street smarts to him now. You can put him – I guarantee he's got a little – he can fix up a car and all that good stuff.
So what's Coach Summerall like? And I get he's a football's guy. But what's that locker room really like from a personal standpoint? I know you've been with him for a while. What's it like working with him and, you know, from a day-to-day basis?
Man, I'll tell you, he's not going to change for anybody, not for the public, not for us. And that's what I love is that he's genuine. Like, he does care about his staff. He cares about his players. You know, I'm probably one of the worst. He's always telling me to get my butt out of here, of the office. And, you know, my relationship with Sumrall is very, you know, I learned from Coach Schlarman, you know, always put your boss in a good position, never to be as personal, but to always put in a position. And I tell him the truth. And I think that's one thing he respects about having me with him over the last 4 years is I'm very truthful about things. Like, I'll tell you right away that I don't think something's good, or I'll tell you, man, like, we got to keep doing this. And but that's also a two-way street. He's open to all that. And I think that's what's critical. And that's what makes him a really good freaking leader, is because he's adaptable, you know. And I think that trait and that one word right there is everything in this day and age. But that doesn't mean you change the foundation of the house. You just paint it different colors. You add on to the house. And, you know, I think that's the key, is he's done a great job with that. He understands what's important, and that's our players. Like, at the end of the day, our players come first. And that's probably the biggest thing I respect about Coach Sumrall. And, you know, there's a time for the staff to have their time, but man, it's, you know, so I was talking to a guy the other day and said, you feel like this is 4th and 1, don't you? He's like, yeah, hell yeah. And I was like, good. Like, that's what, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we're here to do is, you know, I said it in the press deal, but is to add blue numbers, that orange wall. Like, that's it. You know, so that you guys can experience winning and we get the joy of freaking getting to build something like that and sustain it. So that's what Coach is about. And it's hard not to go into battle with that guy.
Coach, I want to ask you a question, because you moved over with a number of other coaches from Tulane and your role changed, right? As you guys moved from Tulane up, you were the co-offensive coordinator, the run game coordinator there at Tulane. Now you move into the tight end role at UF. You came over with some of the guys that you worked with on the offensive side of the ball at Tulane, some of the other assistants and analysts that were there. Talk to me about kind of the mental change in your role and how you adapt to a new role where maybe, you know, there's some other people that you're now reporting to that you weren't before. Talk to us a little bit about kind of the mental change of moving from Tulane and run role to UF and to another.
You know, I'll be honest, you know, a lot of that stuff, I'm probably the worst because I'm not really into titles and all that stuff. I love coaching football. I'm just going to be real. And that's probably Coach does a lot better, you know, of understanding. Like, he was like, hey, do you want this run game coordinator title or what, you know, OC, you know, at the end of the day, like, yeah, I've been coming up with run game plans since freaking 2019. Like, I've been doing that. You know what I'm saying? We'll have a saying around here, been doing that, you know. And at the end of the day, man, we're all in it together. We're in it as a team. I'm constantly growing. You know, to be honest with you, I'm kind of excited because, you know, last year I felt swamped, you know, game planning, you know, play actions and nakeds on top of the run game. You know, it's kind of hard to keep that up, like, as you go in, you know, and further into the season. You know what I mean? It's just hard to, because then you got to deal with injuries, you know, and I don't care. You know, that's probably the biggest thing I've noticed on watching tape. I don't think I didn't spend my weekend watching Coach White's defense and getting some things ready to install. You know what I'm saying? But I'm watching tape. What this league's suffering right now is depth. Bad. Like, this ain't the same league it was 10 years ago. And a lot of that's because of the portal. And so I think it's critical. That's why you have to adapt, you know. But, you know, the titles don't matter. I'm excited to coach tight ends. I love being involved in the pass game. That's one thing that, you know, as an O-line coach the past couple of years, I always kind of knew what the progression was. Coach Craddock did a great job and saying, hey, this is where we're going with it. And that's kind of how we directed protection, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I always kind of stayed in tune with it. But it's exciting.
I have a question that you kind of alluded to. You know, we've changed a lot in college football over the last 6 years. And what you mentioned is one of the things that we've talked about on the show for a long time is it's not necessarily the big stars that are always leaving. But the reason that the SEC has probably fallen a little bit back down to earth, you know, and while college football is probably has a little bit more competition and you're seeing some new teams is that you're not able to retain the same depth that you used to be able to. Georgia and Florida and Alabama, you can't just stack five stars and just go from one to the next to the next. Talk to us a little bit about a coach perspective. You know, UF, and I know that this is a new staff at UF, and it probably won't be like this every year, but UF's bringing in 56 new players to their roster this year. That's a lot of turnover, right? That's more than an NFL roster's turnover.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to expect less of that in the future, but how do you guys as a coaching staff deal with that, not only from a recruiting and high school perspective, say, hey, trust us and believe in us moving forward, but how do you game plan for, hey, that second and third string guy, you know, might go seek out another opportunity, and you guys are kind of constantly having to churn players significantly more than you guys used to?
No doubt. It's a great question, man. I think at the end of the day, we're constantly planning for that. I think the thing, too, is to look at trends. You know, I mean, we're at the University of Florida. Unbelievable wideouts, DBs exist in this state. We should always be able to go get them. And that, because of that, like, you know, we're after some good quarterbacks right now. Like I told some of the coaches the other day, it's like, why would you go over there when you know you can go throw to these guys? You know, and so I think right now it's a matter of kind of a couple of years and seeing how these trends work. But at the end of the day, you're always going to need good offensive linemen, defensive linemen development. You're going to need edge rushers. You're going to need DBs. You're going to need a quarterback. And you're going to need a playmaker that can change the game on the offensive side of the ball. So those things aren't going to change. I think you have to prepare for those. That's why I think in year one, finding guys that want to be here, that create a tough culture. You know, when you watch that Netflix show, you know, of course, that was the first dang thing my wife starts doing. You know, it's like going forward and she turns on, you know, Swamp King. And you got Silas and then freaking, you know, and you see that linebacker room. Like Spikes, you know, now he's working here, but it's like the culture was already set. You know what I mean? And so that has to be a foundation in every room. And so I think in year one, you even look at when Nick Saban took over at Alabama, like it ain't a bunch of five stars. You know, yeah, they got Julio Jones, DJ Fluker. Those were the top two guys, came from the same high school, but everybody else was essentially three stars. But man, we're at the University of Florida. Like I think what we can do when you look at it is we should be able to get some really good freaking skill players here, you know. And because of that, why wouldn't you want to protect or block for them? You know, we've got to own the state of Georgia again in recruiting. You know, we got to battle those
football guys, too.
You know, I mean, we're talking about Columbia High School. Give the man the ball, you know. Yeah. But just we got other players that are from that state. And so we're really making that a huge point. To be honest with you, there's a huge clinic going down in Orlando. Our staff's made a huge point to start reaching out to all the coaches in this state. We're going to have areas again. And so that way we can make sure we're staying ahead. Like we want to know about guys way early, not because they got offered by somebody else. Like we going to know them because they're in our dang backyard. They're in the swamp.
Looking at your resume, when you were a grad assistant at Kentucky, did you travel?
Yeah, I'm up in the dang box.
So you've experienced the swamp before.
Yeah, second and third quarter 2018, couldn't hear a darn thing. 2017, Florida comes there. We don't cover two wide receivers.
Oh, yeah. That was a great game.
Huge game. We remember that.
Great game. Great game. I hate freaking losing. By the second time, I ain't going to lie. I'm up there in the box. I'm going nuts. I'm about to break that freaking glass. I was like, I'm a young GA, but I was like, I love winning. Like, I'm yelling this time. And then 18, you know, and that's funny because me and Ashley Spurrier were talking. And then 19, you know, Felipe Franks was a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember this. We're up by two scores. We're actually up 13 points. And then, so literally, I can tell you exactly where it happens. It's on the right hash, minus 28-yard line. Felipe gets popped out of the game, and then Kyle Trask comes in. and leads them in that exact same drive down for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what I was, that's my point is like, you ain't got to go too far. Mm-hmm. Like there's great quarterbacks too in this state and you know, they're all around and they're close by. And I think, but that also tells you why you need to be ready for your opportunity. That's why we got to coach all these guys up and, mm-hmm. and get that next step and that next guy ready to roll.
Mm. I love it.
Guys, yeah, I couldn't hear a darn thing. I ain't gonna lie. I go in that swamp. My favorite thing that we did in freaking January with the recruits, and I'm not gonna lie, man, it just gives you it freaking gives you goosebumps because there was really no other place like it. You know that you couldn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fans were right there on you. So the whole point, I was like, we might as well just be on the sideline. You know.
I was talking to Coach White about that. I was, you know, because he's made a couple trips down, and I was like, "You think they'll be a little bit nicer to you?" He goes, "Depends on how we play. Depends on how we play." But yeah, I think they will. But yeah, it's a really unique environment. It's one of the there's some cool environments all around the SEC. But for my dollar, it's Death Valley, the Swamp, 1A, 1B. It doesn't get much better than that.
Ain't no doubt, Nick.
I love it, man. I love it. Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. We know you got some recruiting to do tonight, so we appreciate you for carving out some time today.
Well, shoot, go home. I can see from that ceiling. You're still
lying, man. I've been staying here. I ain't gonna lie, man. I spent the whole weekend, man. We got some good receivers, boys. I ain't, you know, here's the deal. You like, we got to find ways to incorporate them a part of every part of the game. Not everybody just thinks receivers is part of the pass game, like. No, like, all right, we're going to run the ball over here, but if this guy wants to make a tackle, let's spit it out to this guy. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of things we got to do there, you know, and so now this is practically home for me, man. We got
get an air mattress,
chairs, all kinds of cool stuff, but yeah. I appreciate y'all, man.
We appreciate you too, brother.
Go Gators.
I know that there's a lot of excitement about you and the tight end room, what it can be. So wish you guys the best of luck as you guys start camp, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you bright and early Tuesday. Y'all.
All right, fellas.
To see ya.
Want to be respectful with it. I mean, got bright lights around here, man. So it's just.
I don't like drinking Kool-Aid, but there's another sense of excitement. Let's see.
I told you guys pre-show, freaking. He's got energy.
He's country is all get up, my boy.
Georgia, that's true. Yeah, that's Georgia.
I like it.
All right, let's get a couple of ad reads. One time for our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Go visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. Get you 20% off of your order. Softest cotton t-shirts, all vintage logos, 6 pages of UF gear, and then about 100 different schools. And the Indianapolis Colts, if you are looking. Nick has a cool corduroy hat. They have a bunch of different stuff that they do throughout the year, whether it's jackets, baseball, pullovers. They really do a fantastic job. A lot of stuff that you can go check out. Homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale. And if you can't get what you're looking for there, look at our friends over at Alumni Hall. You can visit them in Gainesville right on Archer Road, or you can visit them online at alumnihall.com. Largest selection of Florida Gators wear out there. So again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale, and Alumni Hall. What'd you guys think of the interview?
Solid, man. Like I like the guy. Interested to see what his recruiting board looks like. Kyle mm-hmm. Trask isn't from Florida though; he's from Texas. But I like the energy, man. We'll see. Tight end coaches are traditionally just good recruiters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good way to use the position. I mean, he's a guy that I think could sell ice to an Eskimo, and now it's just a matter of putting it on the field. What I do like about him a lot is that he's coached a lot of other things, right? He's been an offensive lineman. He knows the physicality of the position. I think he also, you know, very much understands the depth of the position and how the Gators might use the tight end, whether it's more of an H-back role, whether it's a flex, whether, you know, you have two tight ends out there, or what a modification might look like if there's a matchup out there. So I love his mentality. I love his energy. It does seem like this coaching staff is just in love with the game of football. And I know that you have to be willing to work 80, 90 hours a week. And to do all that, I know that they get paid handsomely, but you sacrifice a lot of your other stuff in life to coach this game. But there's something about the enthusiasm and energy right now about this coaching staff that has me bought in. Great interview. Glad that he was able to come on. A lot more interviews coming up here shortly with coaches and others.
One thing he said too is kind of like we've been saying it because of the last coaching staff. We've been saying like, hey, Amir Jackson's not going to play because he can't block, and they're just not going to play him. And some of the stuff that Coach McKissick was saying is just kind of like, hey, we got to figure out what they do well and how do we do that. If Amir can't block and he's not ready to block, that doesn't mean like, all right, well, go hit the sled on Saturday. It's like, no, we have a weapon. Let's figure out how we can use him and still disguise it. So it's not like, all right, well, if Seven's on the field, or I think that's his number. I can't remember his number. If Amir's on the field, like, all right, it's passing play because we're not going to run with him. Like, you got to find ways to use the talent you have and not just be like, hey, you don't do exactly everything that we want you to be able to do at this position, so you're on the sideline.
Yeah. I think I'm interested to see how many targets the tight ends get in this offense with Faulkner. Mm-hmm. He used them quite a bit at Georgia Tech. And we had a lot of tight end snaps last regime, but the usage just didn't make sense, and the talent mm-hmm. I don't think was on par with what, you know, University of Florida tight ends normally look like, you know, that room. So I think the room's in better shape than last year, but I still think the floor needs to be lifted in on a recruiting trail as far as, you know, talent level. But excited to see what the tight ends look like in the new offense. I'm excited just for Faulkner's offense altogether. Anything's better than what we saw, you know.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how the whole coaching staff, I mean, it does seem like there's a lot of elevation to the room, and Buster Faulkner is considered one of the best offensive line or offense coordinators in the country for a reason. You know, I think some of that is going to be the horses that you have and making sure that you get the ball to the Ferraris that you have and, you know, developing. They're all new, right? They're all going to be new to this coaching staff, and for the most part, 60% of the staff or 60% of this roster is brand new to the University of Florida. Give an opportunity. You know, I think that there's some names that, you know, Gator fans probably wanted in the tight end room, but this is an opportunity to sell your vision. And then next year, it's going to be a little bit easier, probably tough to talk a lot about what the Gators tight end room could look like as you're a new coach and you're trying to replace those that left. And, you know, what does this opportunity look like? And if you're, you know, a highly ranked tight end recruit, do you go with something that you don't know versus something that you know? But, you know, this year there's an opportunity, I think, to win Gator fans' hearts if you don't just use tight ends in a blocking scheme and you're able to use a player like, you know, an Amir Williams, or figure out a way to use a Hezzy Kent, or what does Luke Halpering do, or what are these some of these other names? But it's definitely a room that
– Amir Williams.
Amir Jackson, sorry. Amir Jackson, but – I do think, yeah, maybe, probably an Amir Williams out there. But you know, there's certainly some question marks, you know, that we had about the position and everything else and what it looks like going into this season. But, I mean, that seems like a guy that wants to make it work. So, hell of an interview. Appreciate him coming on.
No doubt.
I guess let's close the show with a couple other things. Women's softball still undefeated.
Hold on, can I ask something football related? Yeah. Okay, I had a brief conversation like this on the Spaces. Heading into spring football, and we ain't got to spend a whole lot of time on this, but heading into spring football, who do you think, if there's anybody on the offense or defensive side of the ball, should get some type of, I would say, superstar treatment and not go full-fledged balls to the wall? I think my guy was Ball. That I don't think has a lot to prove, you know. Don't want to see him get injured. I don't think he needs to play in every scrimmage or even the spring game per se. Or is there anybody? Am I wrong in that thinking? Or is there anybody else on the roster
that could probably? And I think that's a good opportunity. You know, the Gators brought in a couple of good backups to Jaden Ball too. From
Evan Pryor, London Montgomery, and Duke Clark.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that there's an opportunity for them to kind of shake out what that room looks like. And Montgomery comes over from ECU, had a good year last year. Pryor from Ohio State, there's a lot of flashes that he had. And then certainly Duke Clark, the returning player, that was on the roster last year that there's a lot of excitement about. You know, you talk to a lot of coaches and people in the industry. They think the world of Duke Clark. What does that spot behind Jaden Ball look like? But I think that that's probably the only person on offense that's earned that. Some people might say VB3, but I still think that he needs to get maybe acclimated. Maybe Singleton, but he still has to learn with his quarterback, right? He's coming into a new situation where he has a new guy throwing him the ball. They worked together probably a little bit at Georgia Tech, but he was a starter when Philo was a backup. So I'm not sure how much they worked together. But based on offensive performance, I don't think there's a single person on offense. On defense, I can think of a few, but let's see if Nick has anybody.
Yeah, offense, I think probably just Jaden. Also, like, you're going to have to fight him to, like, take reps away from him. That's just kind of the player he is. Like, Dallas missed so much time last year. I wouldn't say him. Like, you need to get those reps, VB. Eric Singleton, I think Dan made a great point. Like, hey, you're still building timing and chemistry with
and two new quarterbacks. There's a lot of competition in that room, too. Like, that room is loaded with crap. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Defensively, like, I don't think so either, just because it's all new. Like, I think Miles Graham's going to be your guy there, but, like, or Miles Graham, Aaron Childs, but, like, I think you're still fighting off, you know, Ty Jackson. Like, you've got guys in that room. At cornerback, like,
Ty Jackson. I was just going to say, but I wasn't
going to lie like that. He ain't fighting.
you've got guys, but, like,
he ain't fighting nobody. Miles is himothy.
Like, everywhere in the secondary is competition. So I don't think you can take anyone off. I think Jaden Woods is a guy who we think the world of, but, like, you still have to develop. Like, I don't think there's any, like, seniority outside of maybe, like, a Miles Graham or an Aaron Childs, but
I don't think Aaron Childs has gotten that. I think Miles Graham and I think Jaden Woods, to maybe an extent, are probably the only people that would be in that conversation. But I don't think that Jaden Woods, A, would not practice, right? If you're like, hey, we need you to sit out, he would just go get, like, the dummy and just go work by himself just go squat, like, 5'10 again.
It goes against what they're trying to build as well. Like, when I talk to Brad White, when I've talked to John Summerall, it's like, hey, we're going to be gritty. Like, we're going to earn everything. And, you know, I watched Will Muschamp do it. And Will Muschamp is that kind of coach, like a player's coach, but, like, we're going to work and we're going to hit. And I still watched
that Dominique that last year. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But that was not year one setting the culture. So I think, like, maybe if this was, like, year three and we're looking at, you know, a guy like Jaden Ball or if you had a Caleb Banks back for his senior year kind of deal, I think, all right, like, hey, listen, we know what we're going to get from you. You've been in the defense for 3 years. You've been in the offense for 3 years. Get the first rep and then come stand by me. I think maybe you get to that point, but, like, year one, spring one, I don't know that the coaching staff will, you know, put a red shirt on anybody in spring.
I mean, the scrimmages are pretty much for, like, depth chart separation. Like, that's where you really earn, like, your spot in the scrimmages. That's where I was thinking, like, there's no reason Jaden Ball don't have anything to prove. We also normally get our injuries in scrimmages, especially with that last regime. Post scrimmage, we all just waiting on the notes to hit the timeline to find out who's injured, who's not injured. So normally you're getting, you know, that's when the battles are happening. I don't think they're going full fledged and too crazy in regular practices. So in scrimmage, when the bullets are really flying, when injuries happen, I don't think a guy like Ball has to be getting a lot of reps when the bullets are flying for real. Everybody else, I think, kind of need those. And you have a few players, too, I think you could just kind of protect a little bit. Like the bubble wrap guys, Dijon is a bubble wrap guy. You know, while he do need the reps, we're going to need him for the fall for sure. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he needs to be playing a whole lot of scrimmage reps being injury prone. I don't even like using that word, but it is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, proof's in the pudding.
You're just so young at corner. Like after Dijon and Cromani, it's like Javari Flowers, Ben Hanks, Onis, CJ, and then like CJ Hester and CJ Brano. Like you're freshman. Like you're super young at corner.
What position group are you guys gonna watch the most intently in the spring?
Quarterback, obviously, that's the easy one. But you've got Aaron Philo, who is, you know, comes with Buster. You've got Tramiel, who I think is supremely talented. Saw both of them over the weekend. Offensive line is like, I mean, we went into last year knowing, you know, probably all five starters and thought maybe one spot. Now, really, I think, you know, I don't even know that, like, Jason Zandamella, I think if you're looking at center, I think there's even be a battle at center. So, like, that's a position or a group where, like, all five positions might be up for grabs.
Well, especially with Phil Trautwein, right? Like, you're coming in with a completely fresh perspective. Now there's probably a hierarchy of expectation of who's going to start there as you come into the spring. But I do think, especially with a brand new coaching staff, except for defensive line coach, you've got the opportunity now to prove yourself and where you belong. And there's a lot of bodies in that tight end room that are unproven. I mean, even Luke Harpering, 180 yards, you know, last season at Georgia Tech. So you have carte blanche opportunity to figure out what that order looks like. Same with offensive line. You're replacing four starters from last year. Mm-hmm. So you might carry over, you know, one, and then you have Najee Harris and you have a few others that have some more experience, but right now, in my opinion, everything is really wide open on the offensive line. I think wide receiver with Dallas Wilson and VB3 and Eric Singleton, it's going to probably be tough to supplant that. Jaden Ball is your starter. But I'm really focused on – obviously quarterback is probably the easiest answer, and that's not a cop-out for Nick. But after that, I'm really curious about that offensive line group and that tight end group, because as far as I can tell right now, we don't have – great talent at tight end, and I hope to be surprised about what they can produce this season.
Yeah, cornerback for me. Brandon Harris, I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. Big fan of his from the high school, his playing days, and also just his mentality that he brings. It's been a while since we had DBs that ball hawk and play aggressive, you know, play close to the line of scrimmage. I think he's going to bring a lot of that. I think he's going to pull a lot of potential out of the Javari Flowers and the Kermani McClains. He's going to hold them to a certain standard, and it's going to be wide open competition. I don't think nobody has a spot locked down in no capacity, man. It's a lot of talent in that room, a lot of Florida boys, but, you know, it's going to be up for grabs, and I want to see what Brandon Harris do differently than the last day. I wasn't high on the last cornerback coaching.
Yeah, no, I think on the defensive side, you know, defensive tackle, you brought in a bunch of new names there. What does that look like? I mean, I think linebacker is probably pretty solidified in terms of what that room looks like. But, Corey, like you said, that defensive back room, cornerbacks, safeties, you're going to have whole new safeties this year, right? So there's a lot of eyeballs this spring. And
I think Thornton got his job locked down?
Mm-hmm. Do we think that he's earned?
I think it'll certainly start that way. I think Cam Dooley came and he'll start at like your weak side, strong safety, and then Thornton at free safety. And then after Cam, I think it's Allen Stubbs probably in that order. And then Lagonza
Allen walk on sensation.
And then Lagonza,
is he still 43?
What a gangster, man.
I don't know. I just did.
Yeah, leave him in an ugly number. Don't give him nothing. Like, I need him still gritty, hungry.
It's interesting. I did.
You put him in a two and his mentality changed.
Yeah, he gets soft, man. He's in single digits, bro. Yeah, 43 is the new 35, man.
That's right.
All of a sudden, he's got 9 armbands. He's got a visor. And you're like, okay, we've lost it.
Coming downhill like Trey Dean or something, man.
Numbers will be interesting. Dallas changed his number. VB3 stuck with 8. I remember when VB3 got to campus, he was talking. Me and Zach Alverde were talking to him, and he was like, low key, was like not feeling number 8. He was like, no, I want number 1. I got this number 8. And then Zach and I were like, there's a guy named Percy Harvin who wore number 8 as a freshman. He was like, oh, okay.
But VB3, I thought he did that on purpose.
No, it was handed to him. He did not want the Ocho.
What's Dallas Wilson's
new number?
3.
Oh.
3.
What if VB3 was number 3?
I asked him. He said no. He said he wants, what's it called, that when you see a number 8 jersey, he thinks, you know, like, hey, that's me. Like, I'm when I no no shade to Aaron Childs, but when you see a number 8 jersey, if you look up and you see number 1, that could just be a random jersey. You look up and if you see a number 8 jersey, if you're walking around, you see a number 8 Florida Gator jersey, my mind immediately goes, oh, that's probably a VB3 jersey. Now me, my weak mentality, I would pick number 1 and I would just claim all of the random jerseys. Like, oh yeah, there is no name on the back, but that's definitely me.
I wish I could look at the roster, but they've deleted the roster off the website.
Yeah, no roster.
Is it because nobody's earned to be on the roster yet? They haven't gone through the gauntlet yet.
I imagine Monday. So spring ball starts Tuesday morning. This is a morning staff, like 8:30 practice. Like their meetings started like 7. I will be going straight from dropping Frankie off at daycare to football.
Nice.
So early morning with
the kid off and go to work like a regular person, man.
That's right.
I mean, instead of going to the office, I'm going to football.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, normally I would go from daycare to the office, but the office will be football.
We cut your commute in half. That's nice of them.
Well, you've been to the office. The office is right near campus.
I was about to say, it's not that far at all.
Yeah, yeah, not to dox myself. Don't show up at the office. We just put a Papa shot in the office. Great for morale.
Is that all any other number changes?
And so I talked with we did some content. I had like 7 of the transfers on. And I asked them, like, oh, have you guys gotten numbers yet? And they all said no. So I think it might have just been some guys who –
because they're not on the roster yet, Corey. There's no roster. We'll find out next week.
We're
going to
do this like Pop Warner. We're going to give out the numbers first day of practice.
The smaller numbers are all by size.
They all go to Pizza Hut and they start giving out jerseys.
Yeah. With your book certificate.
That's right. it's I'll a be personal interested. Pan pizza and here's your jersey. Don't get any tomato sauce on it.
We did like a signing event, and Aaron Filo was signing Aaron Filo 12. And then he literally, him and Will Griffin are sitting there, and they're signing. And he was like, wait, I hope I get number 12. And Will's like, you haven't asked? He's like, no. I was like, brother, just don't let them give you 15. We've had just a ridiculous run of the coaches throwing 15 at quarterbacks, and the fan base cannot help but see 15 on a quarterback and go, okay, that's Tim Tebow. Yeah, I'm like,
he's Tim Tebow. We just think that, like, we just got to respect numbers around here. The last staff didn't respect numbers, like,
or anything.
You can't give number 15 to average Joe.
To a walk-on quarterback? Shout out to Jacob Guy.
He's just a guy.
Yeah, I think the internet still wants Jacob Guy to play.
No, I think.
Give him a shot.
He was like 6'5", 6'6".
He looked the part.
He can spin it.
I never said it about.
Because you weren't on the show then, but I have no doubt in my mind.
No.
Oh man, what a time!
Let's wrap up basketball. Extended their win streak to 7. A big win at Ole Miss this weekend. I think they've won their last 4 road games by
19. I forgot what the stat was. At least 19.
Yeah, they're like one of the first teams ever to win 4 road conference games by 19 points or more in college basketball history. Incredible. They are positioning themselves in a great spot. I think they're up to number 7 in the rankings, and that number 2 spot is certainly looking like it is within Florida's grasp as they head into the end of the season. And then softball is still undefeated. So a lot of great stuff happening around Florida Gator sports and athletics. This show changes a lot over the next couple of weeks as we start to get into spring practice. We are talking and we're going to have some great interviews lined up for you guys over the next few weeks and few months. Yes, the big guy will be on the show. A lot of people keep asking. We're working through that. It made sense. About why and the timing of that. So just stay tuned for that. You guys got any final thoughts before we head out of here?
No, man.
Awesome. No, we are, well, most people listening to this, we're 1 week away from, or I guess two shows away from full spring practice updates.
Yep. And we have the only podcast where somebody will be in attendance. Nick will be able to talk about some, not all. So just bear in mind when he cryptically says stuff or doesn't say stuff. But we're excited that we made it to spring practice. And Jordan, you're listening. Praying for
325.
We can't wait. Yeah, 325.
I ain't talking about Jerry Maguire back here. I'm talking about
let my boy get back. Michael, let my boy get back to the 561. Well, we appreciate you guys for listening. Hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the retweet button or share button, whatever we call it, on X, the Everything app now. And we will see you guys next week.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.